Greetings, Dave, Northwest, greetings, and Chief.
So, Mr. Fisher, have expired the amount for the DBA over to you.
He is still in the process of winning over because I started to be September. So,
the acting of anyone?
The acting is for 6 months or until the post is filled.
So, whichever will come first?
Yes.
Are the plans to fill the position? Are the plans to fill the position? For how long has this been working to that? For how long? Isn't that when you actually come with his background and everything? So that you must understand what I was dealing with you. For how long, Mr. Fisher, you acted for how long?
3 years.
And then you started in September. Before you was there, anybody, anything before you were Mr. Fisher?
Yes, sir.
Why everybody saying yes? Let's hear the history because the near fact that you see one somebody that must take responsibility for the near fact that you are moving around to the
The purpose is just to bring the committee on the Now, the Deloitte and Touche report, which was completed by the 26th June 2017, covered the following areas in terms of their scope. They were tasked to look at the payments made to implementing agents for the period of 2014-15 financial year to 2015-16 financial year, so for a period of 2 years. And the focus area of those payments were around the project management fee paid to implementing agents, the completeness of the asset register, the identification of irregular expenditure incurred by the implementing agents, as well as to review the CWP model, and also look into the management information system that CWP branch was implementing at the time to manage the payment of participants. And just in summary, before going into details, the high-level progress that was made with regards to project management fee is that the department has since improved the supporting documents for what should be provided in support of the project management fee by implementing agents. And we are also quantifying the magnitude of payments which are not supported by required supporting documents as the report has been included. With regard to the assets, the department has successfully recovered 18.7 million from the implicated implementing agents, but I will go into further details when I go through the presentation. With the irregular expenditure in summary terms, the development team has identified irregular expenditure which the department had since disclosed in the financial statement, and also further referred the irregular expenditure to National Treasury for consideration and condonement. The National Treasury has since approved the condonement of the irregular expenditure. With regard to the CWP implementation model, a feasibility study has been conducted through national, well, supported by National Treasury, which is known as the government technical advisory committee, which is residing in National Treasury, and DPSA has also been consulted with regards to the model. The branch has also, when it comes to CWT management information system, has procured the service from CETA in an attempt to improve the control weaknesses around the system, and also is in the process of piloting a biometric system which will then address the issues around the ghost participants, which I think the AG has highlighted in their report, but I will talk to you as well. Let's go in detail, Chair and members. The following was what Deloitte and Touche raised when it comes to project management fee. They have indicated that the retention fee principle was not adhered to in all instances when the department was making payments. They did not comply to that. And also there was an issue around the adequacy of supporting documents. When implementing agents are providing their documents. The progress that we've made thus far as a department is that we were able to enhance the nature of the support that must accompany the document. As far as per the Deloitte and Touche report, they have recommended that you need to ensure the following are included in the claims by the implementing agents. Those items are the travel costs, the accommodation, airtime, telephone and fax costs, catering, electricity and consultation fees. Those were then subsequently brought forming part of the project management team. And the department also has indicated confirming from the payments fee that were made, which were not subsequently or substantially supported by those evidence that were required. With regards to asset management, the development tools found that the CWP asset register was not accurate and also complete. And as a result, in implementing the recommendations, the department has since developed and approved asset inventory policy, and that policy was workshopped to the implementing agent. And following the workshop conducted, a recommendation was also made for the department to conduct physical asset verification. That was done through Ted Aichin and ALCM, who were appointed to assist the department with conducting the asset verification. Following the completion of the asset verification, the department could not then be able to verify and validate assets to the value of 13.7 million across 9 provinces, and that amount has since been recovered from implicated implementing agents. And over and above, the gaps that were identified by Deloitte and Touche as far as what a credible asset register should consist of, those gaps have since been addressed, and the current asset register of the CWP branch has also been improved. On the area of irregular expenditure, as indicated, Deloitte and Touche has identified irregular expenditure to the value of 150 million for 2014-15 financial year, and also 280 million for 2015-16 financial year. And the irregular expenditure consisted of the following as indicated by the report, where insufficient supporting documents were provided. There were instances of duplicate invoices. There were instances where supporting documents were manually adjusted. There are also instances of potential conflict of interest that were highlighted by the report. And overall, non-compliance to SDM processes by implementing agents when they were procuring the services. And there were also instances where the implementing agent's invoices were dated before the invoices by their suppliers. As the understanding was that the implementing agent will go and procure the services, and then invoice the department to be reimbursed, but then they needed to use the invoices of the suppliers as the supporting documents. And of course, there were instances of excessive claims that were highlighted by the report. And what the department has done so far to address the issues highlighted by the report was to ensure that the identified irregular expenditure is disclosed in the financial statements to ensure completeness, and further approach National Treasury or reported to National Treasury the irregular expenditure incurred, requested condonement of such irregular expenditure, which National Treasury has since approved. Our financial statements were also updated accordingly. Since the department had verified and validated the financial deficiencies around the assets that could not be confirmed, that amount was recovered. The department has now started with the validation of the irregular expenditure financial loss experienced by the department. Considering that from the entire irregular expenditure that has been reported by the Deloitte, the department then needed to quantify what exactly of that irregular expenditure resulted in the financial loss. there is a process that the department is currently busy with after completing the asset register process. With regards to CWP model, there has been challenges highlighted by the report in implementing agents implementing the CWP model at the time. The approach of the model at the time was only reinvestment model, where implementing agent will go and spend, and then thereafter they will send invoices to the department for reinvestment. That model has since been dealt away with, where National Treasury approved a transfer model to be implemented in the current period. That period is currently running from 2018-19 to 2020-21. The department has further approached National Treasury, has indicated that GTEC is in the process of supporting or revising the current CWP model. They have currently proposed a new model. They've conducted a feasibility study around the new model that will address all the shortcomings of CWP, and that is currently being discussed with DPSA. A formal submission has also been made in that regard. And with regards to the information management system that CWP is using, there has been credibility issue to the information as raised by Deloitte and Touche. And due to those deficiencies of the system, the department has since procured the service of CETA to improve that particular system to address the shortcomings raised by the Deloitte and Touche report. Those reports, I mean, the outcome of those were also highlighted by the Auditor General's current report as far as the possible ghost participants, the challenges with providing the hard copy timesheets, and also challenges that participants that were paid could not be validated. So the intention of CETA was to also ensure that the development of the system will address the shortcomings. The department has also deployed a biometric system, which is currently on the pilot phase. That process started just after the completion of the audit by Auditor General, and it started in October 2019. That biometric system, the intention is that it will address the manual timesheets that we often, as a department, fail to produce to the AG or internal auditor. The biometric system will also assist that at all times when participants clock in or out, we are also able to validate their existence thereof. And also, of course, the system will be linked directly to our Home Affairs department as well as Department of Labor, just to give us red flags in terms of where participants are deemed to be deceased and also waiting for other government states so that we can be able to pick it up in advance. And it's also safe to indicate that since the report by the AG and the validation that the department has taken, we have recovered as a department amount to the value of 1.7 million, which was associated to possible ghost participants, in the sense that some were deemed to have passed away and the others were also deemed to be waiting for other departments. My last slide summarizes the amount that the department has recovered since the report, as well as the Auditor General's findings. The assets that could not be verified to the value of 18.7 million have been recovered from implicated implementing agents. With regard to current management fee, which was not supported, as well as the regular expenditure which resulted in financial loss, those two activities are still in the, being finalized by management. The both participants that were concerned, the value of 1.7 million which was concerned was also successfully recovered from the retention fees of the implementing agents. And from the current implementing agents that are implementing the program, financial deficiency to the value of 765,000 has since been recovered. The other two NPOs have been suspended following the financial deficiencies that were discovered. The investigation of those two implementing agents is still underway. And the last slide is just for the members of the committee to just note the progress that the department has achieved in implementing the recommendations by the report. Thank you, Chair, and thanks, Honourable Member.
Over to you, Chair.
And the piloting of the biometric system. I want to know how long until the asset verification is completed, and then when will the model be reviewed, especially concerning what decent work means. Then in the subdivision or subcomponent of the model, there are skills training that are budgeted for, yet is not being implemented on the ground. I want to know what happens to that money that people aim benefiting from it. And then I want to know in amount how much duplicate invoices have been paid out and who was the culprit. I'd like to know the names and the details of the suspended NGOs. And in a Northern Cape, there has already been lost 27 million in stipends this year alone due to lost job opportunities. Is there any plan forward? And regarding the implementation agents, in Northern Cape, the biggest area of the Mako and Antang was about 3 hours. However, since 2014, there has been no project implemented, only cleaning and reading. Yes, they are the water councillors to submit water plans yearly, which they do, but there's no real impact on the ground. I want to know the implementation agents that do receive their millions, and we've been asking the for 2 years with no response. What can the council do? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair.
Thank you.
This is interesting reading if you compare it to the annual report, the audited and the audited financials of the department in the last financial year. So this Deloitte investigation covered 2014-15 and 2015-16, those two financial years. And it found 115 million in irregular expenditure in 2014-15 and 280 million in irregular expenditure in 2015-16. But if we read the audited financials, the annual report from the department, the latest one that's available, 16-17, accumulated irregular expenditure in 16-17 is 1.3 billion. The accumulated irregular expenditure in 17-18 is 1.68 billion. So it seems that this Deloitte report is covering only a small portion, a very, very tiny portion of the irregular expenditure that has been incurred under Community Works Program. Because if you read the rest of the annual report, There might be other small things, but the bulk, and we're talking billions here today. So the question is this Deloitte report even relevant anymore? Is its scope going to be extended? What about the accumulated irregular expenditure and the new irregular expenditure incurred in 2016-17 and 2017-18? Added to that, can we please, as an indication, and it's difficult, Chairperson, because the leadership is absent here, the administrative leadership is absent, but can we have an indication of the total irregular expenditure incurred by the department to date? And here we're talking that figure of billions. What amount has in fact been condoned by National Treasury or otherwise recovered? And what still needs to be dealt with? Please give us a figure, because I suspect it's still in the billions that have not been dealt with. But I might be wrong. The second issue, Chairperson, and again I refer back to the latest annual report 2017-18. On page 131 of that report, the Auditor General notes the following. Disciplinary steps were not taken against officials who have incurred and or permitted irregular expenditure as required by section 38(1) sub B Roman numeral 3 of the PSMA. The question now to the department is, has disciplinary steps now been taken? Years and years and years after this irregular tender was first awarded, and after all of this irregular expenditure was incurred by the implementing agent. Who has been charged with misconduct or incapacity or whatever it may be? Who has been suspended? Who has been fired? And at what level are they? Lastly, Chair, just a question on the detail, and this also goes to the disciplinary process. If you look at the Deloitte findings, duplicate invoices, manual adjustments of supplier documents, invoices predating or implementing agent invoices predating supplier invoices. This is serious stuff. Can you give us any particular detail on whether the officials were found to have participated in this process? Because, in fact, the Auditor General also in his remarks, page 147 of the 1718 annual report, he makes reference to the Deloitte report. And he said the Hawks are also going to look at this. So did Deloitte, in fact, discover that any of the officials of this department had a hand in these would seem to be fraudulent action? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. My question is on the, again, on the irregular expenditure. That was shared by CWP. How am I going to recoup the money? How is that not going to recoup the money? And what happens to the workers if so much money gets, you know, taken away on irregular expenditure? What about is it this program that this program meant for something a product for people, or is it just another excuse for quicker deployment? I do not see any sustainable, any way in which it has impacted on our people at all. I do not see it looks like a half-hour of it better than no bread program, rather than it being there to impact our people's lives. Unless you call that maybe 100 rand payment. You call that payment, and you have to tell us then on what basis are we doing that. Against the way in which the law outlines decent working. Is this sustainable? This is apart from the proposals that you have, biometrics and so on. Is the CWP a sustainable program that is meant, that is aimed at changing people's lives? That is what I have a problem with. Whether the people are working for 2 days, whatever excuse you may put, is this in Kastaj, in total, is it meant to change people's lives? Or is it just a program to pacify society, to think that they are working? In the meantime, things are going to be fine. And if that is the case, that you think that those people are working, they are going to change their lives, it's going to impact in their lives in terms of socio-economic quality, you must outline to this committee as to how that is going to happen. Because another presentation the last time here spoke about this thing having to be a window face to something else. Why do you create something like a window face? When our people are facing a deplorable condition like that, why do you go out of your way just to make sure that you just create a program that's not going to stay there and change people and impact on people's lives? Why do you even waste your time doing that? You know, Chair, those are the questions pertaining to that issue.
Had we not gone on manual in managing your income, perhaps you treated this thing as a contrary to the provisions of the law that must be efficient, economic, and effective. In all the way that you provided from the start the biometric system as part of management of the sport, you would not have a position or a section for allocation of the process of the sport. Because the system would have been adequate in terms of managing actuality in relation to your EIAs and all your participants. booked and all fraudulent thinking activities. So let's congratulate you for making provision. So you must not be piloting. You must actually implement it fully if you want to run that program. We must also congratulate you on now, this time around, through this, that it begins to tell us that indeed, we are now applying the administrative executive oversight over the program. Not through a head job, but through management by working about it. So that you feel really with the target on time and on the ground. Otherwise, if you remove this program, it will have all these unintended consequences. We were raising also the issue of admitting back. This program is intended to alleviate poverty. But now, in your system of implementing and managing the program, we are putting a mitigant in the implementation agenda. You are actually now eroding into the very meager wage that must be going to the government. Perhaps you must think going forward another alternative of managing this. That would end up having no mitigant. So be safe, and definitely polio would be going directly to us. And again, some of the concerns by my colleague over there, they look like that. Because perhaps the wage of the participants would mark a difference for their lives. So let's congratulate you for that. I think some of the questions that I have raised from my to say now, is this report, should I use this report? The final report now goes out financial year 18. Or else your temperatures need to continue so that you actually provide a comprehensive, conclusive investigative report of this matter. So that we deal all the issues that we are intended that you bring in. I think the chair this police intervention is a good intervention. But the fact that the department of, is it a branch or whatever? The branch is not stable. Because the branch is in a transient position. Senior officials there are in a absent position. You can't expect that you will have efficient and good work where you have people managing the very program, they are in active positions. I was told that situation, that you remember, because I saw you somewhere in the transit place, you were at a peak there, but she was a little concerned about the local government, so they took care of that in the fire.
So if then,
the department must sort out this house. So this branch must not continue to be in an active position if we want to achieve the very objective of the question. Thanks to God.
Thank you. Another question?
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. My question will be on the
insufficient supporting documents that were done by the implementing agency, and which their contract has, as I said here, has expired. And they are still continuing working with an expired contract. Maybe if we can compile the contract with the support, so that we can understand why are we still using them, why their contract has expired. Number two, why did you still appoint an employee that they are implicated on their irregular expenditure?
Can you see how far you can respond to this? Because very well that is sitting on our land, which is that I'm just not our student. I'm student. But who's responding to this? Can I see the two of you?
You have three of us are going to respond because. Why do we have the program? Is it sustainable? And how is it changing the people's lives? Just an overview, and colleagues will come on board to say the establishment of this program, in short, has very clear objective to provide the safety. And I don't want to go into detail. To say it prescribes regular jobs that should be done into the unemployed and underemployed participants. And it is guided by a ministerial determination. Every 5 October, we receive a ministerial determination from the Department of Labor that prescribes how much we should pay for the 2 days that are given to the participants. And of late, the minister has indicated in our latest engagement with during the ministry that we should look at reviewing from 2 days a week to the possibility of having 3 days a week, which is a matter that management will engage and see if it will be able to apply. Let me also highlight that there are also, we are the number 4 non-state sector of the EPWP, and that falls under the employment, the public employment sector. So in other words, for us to have the program, it's a mandate that we received from presidency, which came through a cabinet meeting, and we happen to implement it in short. And to say one of the areas mandates that we have is also to establish a partnership and ensure that other sectors come on board in the implementation of the program. With that overview, I will allow my colleagues to input into the other area.
Thank you. Ms. Colleagues,
Chair. Chair, the model review, the question that we asked to how long before the model has been reviewed. The target on model review is projected before 2021 with the intention of implementation at the end of the current contract year period of the implementing or non-report organization. The other delays to the debate process, Chair, I think what we would rather do is to bring a detailed discussion from now bring this over a number of financial years. And I think the big question was that if the investigation by Deloitte complete and conclusive. No, it is not. It's actually a impetus for us going forward, the implementation of the recommendations.
Yeah, I know you're used to sitting there, that's right. I'm straight here next to somebody there. I could see where you go. They don't have time. Your colleagues decided to occupy our time. So welcome.
we are finding it difficult for some of for them to be found in the pool because some of them folded the moment that they went out of the program. So we are going to have to deal with the individuals who were directors and chairpersons of the board in every one of those situations. Yes, we are we are busy currently. We've been on a 3-week sort of roundabout throughout Eastern Cape and Cape, and doing the management I work about, establishing the facts on the ground to make sure that when they say that there's a vegetable farm, we go and look at those vegetables.
Are you doing that?
We are doing that. We can send this picture because we have reached a point where, because of the nature of the problem itself, and I want to answer another very sensitive question, Chair, which relates to getting rid of the implementing agents as middle men. When we do that, you would know the status of the fiscal in the country right now. It means that the department would have to employ a minimum of 1,500 employees to be able to manage the program in each and every municipality, because we have a foothold in every municipality. There is a minimum of at least 25 people in a certified ward in every municipality. So those people need to be monitored by the signing of an attendance register. In this instance, it will be the biometric itself to make sure that these people are alive. Those people who does the monitoring and the supervision have to be employed by someone. In this instance, they were monitored by the NPOs. But to get rid of the NPOs means that you must appoint them as a state to have people on the ground with a blueprint to make sure that that is checked. We are also not necessarily impressed by the amount of money that we spend by paying the management. We do agree as far as that is concerned. As far as the importance and the outcomes of the program, and we don't want to be talking about good things only in the program. There are also bad things that are happening in the program. The ghost employees, Chair, do not come out of the blue. There are syndicates who are operating within the program. For example, Chair, we have found in the Western Cape that some illegal counterfeit and also contraband has been sold from a CWP site. So if somebody is selling steps and they are wearing CWP uniform from a container which has a CWP emblem on it, who is the policeman who is going to suspect that step is being sold from there? These are the kinds of things that we have to deal with. So it's not about, it's more about the people within the NPOs who are operating there, who know what the trend is. I'm just making this example of that people are here, the ghosts don't come as ghosts on their own. There is somebody who is perpetuating it from within. And therefore, when we suspend and we fire NPOs, it's because they are unable to give us an answer, and therefore we take the steps. And then as far as our going central to the middle management. When it comes to training and equipping of the participants, we have successfully trained quite a few of these participants in the various fields. We've got some of them trained as great art teachers. They've graduated from universities. When we got them, they were just normal people in the street. We just need chairperson, some big voice from yourself as politicians in parliament to make sure that other government departments, education and health, which is where we operate the most, and any childhood, to be able to absorb these trained participants. Because we look after the frail, we look after the old, and when the moment you train people and they are not placed, the only other place to come back to is CWP because we are interacting poverty. But the moment they get permanent jobs, there is encouragement to show that the program has got to answer the honorable member of the state. There is a hope for people to be able to be trained and get better jobs instead of just sweeping the street. In case that they were telling us that Patopama Pair, that's all that they do. In fact, one traditional leader was saying, I have a phone. He doesn't want these people because they are always lying under a tree. They lie under a tree, they are too lazy to be doing anything of importance in his village. So those are the kinds of things where we say they can be trained. There are those who have done successfully well, and in some instances, yes, we are making, but we will come into you with the whole. I'll leave the financial stuff to Mr.
Okay. Then, okay.
I did mention the suspension of the QMP, right?
Yes.
or the name is Itembe, Itembe Foundation, and Out the Box, NGO Foundation. We will then supply the Office of the Chair with
them.
We went through a very serious process of pre-qualification and vetting a chair in all of that. But Chair, there's a problem. In our case, Chairman, we have vetted these people. The funny thing is that I don't know what happens when people see money, the amount of money they've never come across in their lives. Then they start misbehaving. When I give you 2 million or 3 or 10 million to do a job, and you cannot account in 3 months what you have done with the first 5 million, then the thumb will go. I mean, some of the boards were having an electoral fight in our passages. In the department, the chairperson and the CEO having a disagreement in front of us as to which business plan is which. So we realized that when they came in, they were good buddies. Mm-hmm. The moment money hit the bank account, then the fight started. So we did a thorough job, which was headed by Mr. Marshall, which was the field qualification and the evaluation before we even started to adjudicate.
The component of the reaction is a one-day increment from now on, because we are then given a departure by National Treasury to appoint NPOs in terms of the practice proposal. The initial appointment of IA, it was found that out of 9, I think 4 or 5 NPOs were not properly appointed. So which meant that from year 1, to year 4, any expenditure which has been incurred by the 5 or 4 individuals becomes a regular. So hence you see then the figure ballooning to around 1.6 billion. But there was a process I think in 2017 after the report of the developers issued to write to Treasury to request condonation in relation to the 114 and also the 280 million, and other also a figure for condonement, official condonement, what the bulk of it is in relation to non-compliance issues. The smaller portion will be duplicating or the and so forth, but the bigger portion will be non-compliance issues, which are then condoned by children. And then your question, coming back to your question as to exactly what seems to be the problem. It's also highlighted by AG that we are managing a problem which we're having around a quarter. Okay, maybe on that weekend. And it's impossible to manage it through manual processing because some of them, they can't sign a certain process. Someone signs on their behalf. So they can't write.
Yeah.
So a biometric system will be able because it can recognize a face or a finger. It's easier to manage rather than a manual process. So I think the report that it was indicating in relation to the findings pertaining to MIS, if we had then implemented the biometric system, at least we have dealt with most of these issues currently. But if we don't implement the biometric system, then we have to then deal with a voluminous number of timesheets which are submitted to head office by you can imagine 250 as a system. You have to check through all those ones before you process it. It's impossible to check it. Also, you have to check the number of data that is sent at work. Whether it's 2 hours, 8 hours, because sometimes if they come for 4 hours, initially they come out, whether they came for 4 hours or 8 hours, and make sure that they get the right key. So those are some of the things which are there. So also, the issue of many outputs, they started to deal with the issue of assets. Because these assets are within the custody of any people. And if it's found that they are losing some of these assets, I think the government will then need to hold the NPOs accountable. I think there's pressure, they've indicated that they recoup around this million. It's something that needs to happen every financial year. So that these NPOs then they manage these assets properly on our behalf. We're sitting in Pretoria. We won't even know as to what is happening in those developers. I think it's around 4,800 tax sites, which are all over the country. So those are some of the things that the government needs to do. If we can address the issue of assets and also address the issue of accounting for participants, then we can then deal with the issues of the problem.
Thanks, Chair. I think maybe the first question that was raised by the honorable member was around how long the assets recovery has been ongoing. I want to believe that I captured it correctly. For the recovery of assets, I think was completed now in May. So we have completed the verification and validation of all the assets that are under the control of the implementing agent. And the 13.7 million across 9 provinces are the assets that we could not validate or we could not find on the ground. As a result, we had to then recover from the implementing agent. There was also another question by the honorable member in relation to the job opportunities that have been lost. As a result, I think it was a question of saying what then happens to the funds allocated. What the program does on an annual basis is around October, November, we look into the possible savings that the department accumulated, and then be as a result of either some of the participants not coming to work those days that they have worked in the first 6 or 7 months of the year, then add that as a savings. That money is then redirected back to the program by allowing the participants to work additional days. And I think normally, the Auditor General will have an issue to say we've allowed participants to work more than the days that the program allows them to work. But then the decision is just to ensure that the participants make up for the days that they have lost. And then with regards to the issue of irregular expenditure, I can confirm that from the 1.6 billion that has been indicated on the financial statement, 753 million is what has been condoned in the current financial year by National Treasury, and the effect of that will show in the financial statement for the year ending 2018-19, which the AG has just completed auditing now. But we still have irregular expenditure subsequent to the Deloitte and Touche report as it ended in 2015-16. The CWP program at the time was in adjustment for 2 years, meaning that the other 2 years, financial years, the irregular expenditure levels identified there, and in 2017-18 financial year, irregular expenditure identified as my colleague from internal audit has indicated that due to the fact that the award of the contract from inception was irregular, about 4 or 5 NPOs, whatever that they spent was then resulting in regular expenditure. So the four, the remaining 2 years, which is the right and true report did not look into, the department continued further to ensure that we identify such irregular expenditure and continue to also disclose it in our financial statement. There is the two amounts highlighted by the budget, which is part of the 753 million that has been condoned. But the over and above that included in the 753 is what was also additionally identified in 2017 and 2018 financial year. But then we have we still have figures that we need to refer to National Treasury that were previously not reported to National Treasury that relates to CWP that must still be condoned. It's unfortunate the figure of that. I don't have it with me, but we can make it available to the committee. Chair, I would like to believe that I've covered mainly the financial figures question that were raised.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to highlight on two areas that I think we did not cover. The issue of not piloting but going fully digital. We are noting that. The reason why, the top management of the department went piloting is to avoid errors that may result in irregularity being incurred by the department. However, as we have highlighted, the indication is to go digital, but make sure that by the end of this current financial year, we are able to conclude all the piloting and that being digital, accounting for the wage budget, which is 2.8 million per annum. So we are noting that. We will take it at home and see how we can even try to speed up the process of the biometric mechanism. And also, Chair, on the matter of the Northern Cape highlighted by the Honourable, we will verify and validate the implementation of the program in the Northern Cape, in particular the areas that you have highlighted through your chair. Fortunately, Mr. Fitisho, who is responsible for the Cape, is here. We will be able to feedback into what is the status quo and how can we improve the situation on the ground on what we have found to be waiting and not waiting for the welfare of the people on the ground. I think that's right.
You said you can answer everything that we do. And I hear you responding to this now.
to the record of the new contract, the now implementing agents.
What we are trying to correct now, we are trying to correct the mistakes as identified by Deloitte in relation to the previous contracts of the department that entered into with those indemnity cases. Now, that's what I wanted to. It does not relate to this new set of contracts that has been entered into by the department in this new indemnity. That's the point of discussion. Now, in relation to this Deloitte report, the colleague has indicated the steps that were taken by the department to see to it that we verify the effectiveness and the functionality of the implementing agents together with all the other comments that were laid down in the advent. And a thorough work was done prior to the process of procurement and the bidding process to be finalized, that these particular implementing agents were in line with the requirements and the inherent considerations that set out in the terms of reference for this particular new contract. And it is very clear that at the time when this process was finalized, there has not yet any conclusive implications that were done against all the people, all the integrating agents that were then eventually appointed by the department. So that's the distinction that I wanted to make. But maybe to satisfy what the chairperson has indicated in relation to the two implementing agents that we have dealt with now. They were not part of the ones that entered into a contract with the department in the previous contract. These are the new ones. These are the new ones that one might say that the island delivery that we indicated in terms of the inherent qualifications and the criteria that this implementing agent should have. They went through this particular process. But they are not the ones that the contract that we changed are not the ones that previously awarded this particular contract. But the ones that were there and were awarded to the new contract were about four of them. And they are still participating in the process now. And there is also a process after we have appointed this implementing agent. There was an effort by the department to see to that some of them that we realized that when we look at the effectiveness, there were some challenges. We were giving support in order for them to perform what was expected of them. So there has been some work that has been done in relation to this new implementing agent that has been appointed now. That the institute that they do. In relation to the agent to logistics, Mr. Natasha is responsible for liaising with the agencies that relates to the investigation will then shed light into that. But fair to say that we are now, as I'll then indicate to the committee, that the department is working very hard to see to it that we implement the recommendations and the findings of the direct report, and every other stone will not be left unturned. What we are going to do now is to see to it that we follow the loss of money as a result of the fraudulent activities by the previous implementing agent. In instances where money was lost, we will follow the civil process by retrieving money. In instances where there is clear criminality, we will follow this matter up with the law enforcement agencies to see to the people implicated. We started the process as Mr. Tibisho has well indicated that there are about 18 cases that have been opened. So the latter, the recommendations of the report will be followed and necessary steps will be taken. In much in as far as steps to be taken by officials in the department. The report that Mr. Z has indicated was in relation to the wrongs and the mistakes and the actions and the issue of ghost employees that were identified by the department. I am not aware unless they were very indeed to me that certain officials in the department in the CWP were found to be implicated,
And if that is the case, from our unit and together with HR in Portland, we see to it that if such allegations are substantiated, such officials will be followed. Thank you.
I wanted to highlight on the breakdown budget that was requested by the American, but maybe through your office we send a detailed breakdown, a budget breakdown for your convention. We may do it here, but it will be in a haphazard way. Better to, if acceptable, send it through to your office. And in the next engagement, we may not
return. Chairperson, I said the two implementing agents that have fallen out were not part of the group of implementing agents that were called in the first contract. Mm-hmm. So these are the new ones. They are not perennial offenders from the first contract to the second now. These are the new ones.
So yes, you know, the question is the answer is quite revealing that we're not aware of any steps that should be taken. I'm referring you to page 131 of the annual report of the department, where the Auditor General said disciplinary steps were not taken against officials who had incurred and or permitted irregular expenditure as required by section 38, sub 1, H, Roman numeral 3 of the PMFA. So this is not me making things up, it's a finding of the Auditor General, and it should be responded to, hopefully. So, Chair, I think the answer is clear that no disciplinary steps have been taken. Yeah. And I think that's a problem that should be seriously noted, including with the Chief Audit Executive, who has a discussion with the Auditor General about these matters. Thank you.
Yes. And then, if
you
I'm happy when you have said that all the issues that identified in the post with inspection team are
included.
Because he even put it there, honorable brings only in the annual report.
investigation. AG was conducting an audit.
Sorry, there's no investigation. So the process is that we still need to provide another party a hearing. So there was no investigation. Hence, I'm saying there was a process to then establish the facts in relation to the irregular condition. It's something that we can then package and then provide it to this committee. That's what I'm trying to say.
This is that, the year 2017 and 2018, eh?
Yeah.
But yeah, there's work that has been done by the department.
Yeah, because I was not there at that time when the report was concluded.
We'll
try and go back and find out exactly. The next week we'll then do a recap indicating as to whether there was progress or not progress. But if there's no progress, we'll then indicate the time. Yeah, we'll just summarize some of the findings. Okay, so that's
Dr. Naidu, that item that you were saying with, I think it was also proposed a way for what you have to do with the because given now the limited time of this, if the one of the policies in the system from local government, just share with us what is the view and how do you propose to do it. I'm mindful of the fact that these are the measures that the NPA, SIU, and the HOP are going to also come and share with us, but let's hear what is the opening to our research.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. So the initial engagements with the committee was the NPA, SIU, the HOP, and COPS representing on the same matter. But unfortunately, the law enforcement agencies have withdrawn because of another engagement that they had. And I think, Chair, it was actually assisting us because when I look back at the engagement that SCOPA had summoned with the NPA to around the 16th of October, that engagement indicated that there were around 293 cases that they were dealing with. The information that we have is around 217, so they even mismatch in terms of information that the Board of Health is sitting with. So I would want us to go back, Chair, to engage the law enforcement agencies and for us to come back here and talk in concert, right? Having the same information before us and to present to the committee what the situation is on the ground. The last point I want to make, Chair, is that the department has no investigative authority. We do not have any prosecutorial authority. So when we come here and present the situation from a cost perspective, please do not refuse.
That's why we are bringing the other.
So give us a month. We're going to want to come back here.
He won't go on the
day. In fact, I don't have any roots. So I'm going to be
I want to know you to go on the day. I'm going to put that in the day. That was the end of the month. The month will undertake the work to move us in the day. That's the issue. We are getting on this. On this other case later. Dr. Tell, 5 minutes to give us an update on the COVID-19 situation. Remember that we have to be here. Just members to remember the information to know for members. Otherwise, the Ministry of Justice said, yeah, can't afford to have the whole DVD coming to see the information. I want to go.
For a certain show. Okay, thank you very much, good afternoon, honorable members and colleagues. My name is Mafaka. I'm head of the National Disaster Management Center. I'm just going to brief the particular committee on a discourse that has been initiated by the committee itself, but mainly referring to the PC of the Fifth Administration. That in tabling the legacy report of the Fifth Administration Portfolio Committee, reference was made to the fact that there is a need for a disaster management colloquium that will be focusing on ways of enhancing implementation of the disaster management function. We embrace this proposition in that it is quite progressive to ensure that the portfolio committee, COPTA, and other portfolio committees can be placed on the same position in respect of oversight and support to the implementation of the disaster management function as in pursuit of Section 24 of the Constitution. We also recognize that for the portfolio committee of COPS, the key role that really they play is overseeing coordination of disaster management, not the actual mainstreaming, which happens in the different sector departments. So in engaging with the preparations for the colloquium, the views were canvassed that possibly the colloquium should be an inter-portfolio committee one by its nature. That means it should bring together different portfolio committees that have a role to play in disaster risk management issues. There is a draft concept document that has been hatched out of that idea, and I'll just run quickly to page 3 for members who might be having it. In terms of page 3, the purpose is outlined, which is firstly for the inter-portfolio committee session to take stock of the status of the disaster management system in the country. That means to look at what are the current legislative provisions. Thank you, Chair. So to take stock, it will not only be this portfolio committee taking stock, but the other portfolio committees as well. Secondly, to receive inputs from relevant portfolio committees. As we indicated, disaster management is about coordination by COPSA and its portfolio committee by extension, but also the actual mentoring by other portfolio committees. Noting that the issues of drought fall within agriculture, water and sanitation, the issues of water quality will fall under water, the issue of dam safety will fall under water, issues around epidemics will fall under health. So those are also disaster risk issues, are all disaster risk issues. You just coordinate, they actually implement using their various stations. Implying that they need to also come and share with you what is being done within their sector departments, comply with the Disaster Management Act. And then the third purpose is to identify critical disaster risk areas of the country, where we begin to say, if you look at all hazards, your hydrometeorological hazards, your physical, epidemiological, and so on and so forth, what are the critical disaster risk areas? You can say Merapo in terms of sinkholes. You can talk about the Northern Cape, the Karoo area, and the Karoo, Central Karoo, the Western Cape in terms of drought, fires in some of the biome areas like Mpumalanga, KZN, and so on and so forth. So that the portfolio committee can understand hotspot areas in terms of disaster risk issues in the country. The fourth one is identify strategic oversight areas of the affected portfolio committees. This is to say, if we know that foot and mouth disease is common in the Vemba area, that is a hotspot area in terms of this particular risk. The outbreak of other pests and diseases is common in Eastern Cape and so on and so forth, identify those areas. So it will help so that we have a common understanding, common narrative, and we can craft, the portfolio committees can craft common thought leadership in overseeing the function. So that is, these are the purpose statements. Then you move to the objectives, they are linked to the purpose statements, they are reflected on item 4, on page 4. And then item 5 lists the actual role players. In terms of the portfolio committees, starting off with the portfolio committee of COPSA, the one on forestry, environment, forestry and fisheries, the list is reflecting there. And for all of them, the roles in disaster management are outlined on the second column. That means the expectation will be that in making their presentations, they will be reflecting on how they manage risk in their respective portfolios. Because without them managing risk in their portfolios, COXA will remain with the responsibility to respond and declare disasters. And we always say declaring a disaster should be a matter of last resort. After the actual preparedness, mitigation, and prevention measures would have been put in place. So on item 6, list the outcomes, the specific outcomes that the Inter-Portfolio Committee seeks to achieve, and it is important that honorable members socialize with this aspect so that they can decide conclusively that this is what they want to see as the outcome to enhance their work. Page 7 presents the draft program, and I will not go into this in terms of trying to take you through the items, because this is currently going through a review, and under the leadership of the chair, it will be circulated for further input by the honorable members. In conclusion, the date as it reflects also the fourth term program of Parliament is 19th to the 20th of November, and the venue for now, the proposed venue that seems to be a potential one to use is the Western Cape Provincial Disaster Management Center in Tigerberg Hospital. And it has got facilities. We are arranging exhibitions of some of our important services, such as the sea rescue and also the urban search and rescue capacity that the country holds. But we will update as time progresses. Chairperson, thank you very much for the opportunity.
So it's an update for you, sir?
Yes.
So that you have taken on the I know of certain